California's two largest utilities reported huge losses this week. Pacific Gas and Electric, now in bankruptcy, says it lost over $4 billion in the last quarter of 2000. Edison International says it lost $2.5 billion. Edison is trying to stay solvent by selling its electric lines to the state. California Governor Gray Davis likes the idea, but some lawmakers wonder if saving Edison would do anything to stabilize California's power supply. Before the energy crisis, Gray Davis was thought of as a possible presidential contender in 2004, but criticism of his handling of the situation may have dimmed his prospects, NPR's Richard Gonzalez reports.
When he was elected governor 2.5 years ago, Gray Davis was hailed by one pundit as perhaps the best-trained governor-in-waiting California has ever produced. Yet these days, critics say his cautious, incremental approach makes him ill-suited for the job of managing the state's fast-moving power crisis. But in an interview with NPR, Davis seemed unaffected by that criticism, especially the charge that he has acted too slowly.
Haste is what got us into this problem. The legislature passed this bill without a dissenting vote in 1996 to deregulate. That, coupled with a failure to build a plant for 12 years, left a hell of a mess for me. Now, I'm not here to complain. I ran as a problem solver. I'm going to get this problem fixed, but I'm going to get it done in a way that will stand the test of time, not just throw something together.
Davis spoke in the wake of events that appeared to catch him flat-footed. The state's largest utility, Pacific Gas and Electric, voluntarily filed for bankruptcy just hours after Davis finally endorsed the electrical rate hikes the utility had been demanding. Meanwhile, Davis has been striking out at a host of opponents he says are making the state's energy crisis worse. His favorite targets are the out-of-state power generators.
These are not companies that are cutting-edge technology companies. As a matter of fact, they're not contributing one iota to America's technological productivity. They haven't improved the service. They haven't improved the product. They're just selling us back our own electrons at Herculean increases over the previous year.
Not far behind on Davis's list of culprits is a Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, or FERC, which has the power to impose regional price caps. But neither its chairman, Kurt Hebert, or President Bush are inclined to do that. This, of course, leads many to speculate that the White House can take some small pleasure in seeing Davis, a Democrat, spend all of his political capital dealing with an intractable problem.
I know that's the conventional wisdom, but I genuinely believe President Bush has some ideological opposition to certain things like price caps, but I know he's enough of a pragmatist not to want to write off any state, much less the biggest state in the union.
But many political observers wonder how long Davis can continue blaming others for the crisis. Sherry Bebich Jeffy teaches politics at the University of Southern California. She says Californians may agree the energy crisis isn't of Davis's making, but they expect him to fix it.
And it's quite ironic if you think about it. This is a micromanager without peer. This is a control freak. Gray Davis puts his imprimatur on everything. And quite frankly, the energy crisis is a situation that from day one has really been mostly out of the governor's control.
Many of Davis's critics will concede that from day one, the governor has had only poor choices to make. For example, no politician wants to take credit or blame for raising electricity rates. But Republican political consultant Dan Schnur says Davis's inaction last summer when the energy crisis began has come back to haunt him.
He could have allowed for long-term contracts. He could have embarked on a more aggressive conservation program. He could have embarked on a more aggressive production and generation program, or he could have raised rates. Every one of those options has some level of unpleasantness attached to it. The longer he waited, the more unpleasant they've become.
Davis faces a key test this week as he tries to convince Sacramento lawmakers to approve his purchase of Southern California Edison's transmission lines. Lawmakers on both sides of the aisle say the deal may be dead on arrival. Even so, with an election just a year and a half away, Davis remains the odds-on favorite, and not just because he has a $20 million war chest, says UC Berkeley's Bruce Kane.
Whoever runs against him, particularly on the Republican side, has to come up with an answer other than Gray Davis didn't do a good job. They got to be able to say what they would have done. And so far, the answer of the Republican Party has been, we would have raised rates sooner. The problem with that answer is there are a lot of consumers who think the energy companies really are manipulating this situation and have genuine anger about these rate increases. Republicans don't have an answer to that right now.
Kane says Davis has shown at other times in his career that he can recover from serious setbacks. That's why he says even with looming summer blackouts, it's probably too soon to write Gray Davis's political obituary. Richard Gonzalez, NPR News, San Francisco.